Afghanistan. When you hear that word, what do you think? Violence? Yes, daily. War? Yeah, America's longest, certainly since Vietnam. What about terrorism? Again, yes, both the Taliban and Islamic State are active and powerful in the country. But Afghanistan is so much more than any single news bulletin or death toll. It's a complex country of over 34 million people, people living, working, surviving, and thriving. Earlier this year, the world's Shirin Jafari traveled to Afghanistan to report on the lives of women carving out their own destiny. And this week, Shirin will be sharing the story she came back with from places you seldom hear about in news reports because they're off limits to men, like where Afghan women have babies. Today, Shirin profiles a woman who grew up during the Taliban era but has become a force for change when it comes to the country's maternal health system. Here's her story from Kabul.
Oh, yeah. I love this room. I love babies crying.
A room full of screaming babies puts a smile on Feruza Mushtari's face.
It's a sign of being healthy.
Yeah, healthy babies crying. This is one of Afghanistan's oldest and busiest health facilities, Malalai Maternity Hospital. Over a dozen babies are swaddled in colorful blankets. Some lie under incubators that keep them warm. The heat from the machines make it uncomfortably hot in here.
This is the hospital I was born in.
It's also where she trained to become a midwife.
For me, this is a precious place.
Mushtari is a star in her profession. She's the health advisor to Afghanistan's first lady and a vocal advocate for maternal health. She says when the Taliban came to power in the 1990s, they brought with them some of the darkest days for women in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan was known as a deadliest country to be an expected mother.
One issue, there were simply not enough midwives.
I remember it was Taliban time, so sometimes when I remember...
Mushtari was a teenager back then, and she remembers that one day, out of the blue, her parents told her and her sister they could no longer go to school. The Taliban had banned education for girls.
No hope of future.
Empty classrooms led to fewer educated women, that in turn led to fewer women in the healthcare system. The Taliban set one more rule. No woman was allowed to leave the house unless a male relative accompanied her.
But that was their rule. So we had to accept that. Otherwise, so they were beating women.
But it was exactly in those suffocating days that something happened that pushed Mushtari to become a midwife. It took place on a cold winter night.
Someone knocked our door. When I opened the door, I saw an old lady with her daughter-in-law.
The younger woman was heavily pregnant, visibly in pain. They were desperately looking for a man, someone who could take her to the hospital.
We didn't have any male member of our family. My father was not in Kabul. He was in Kandahar that time. At the beginning, we said, no, sorry, we don't have anyone to help you.
The pregnant woman was twisting in pain. Then she started bleeding.
I still remember, I mean, she just fell down and she sat on the floor and she was crying. I was feeling someone is dying in front of me and I cannot do anything.
Mushtari stayed calm. She took a deep breath and started to think, how could she save this woman and her baby? Suddenly, she had an idea.
I put my dad's woolen hat over my head and then I put his patu or shawl over my shoulders, like a boy.
Dressed up as a man, Mushtari flagged a taxi. She sat in the front seat, just like Afghan men did, and she asked the driver to hurry.
On the way, I remember I was practicing in a boy's voice, in case we stop by Taliban or in case we notice by them, and I was hearing my heartbeat.
The most stressful taxi ride in Mushtari's life ended as they pulled up to the hospital. She rushed the woman inside.
She received life-saving care. She had a healthy baby boy, and they also put Feroz's name on him because my name is Feroza, and they wanted to value my help with them.
Mushtari says that night, when she saw the smile on the mother's face.
I mean, promised to myself to dedicate my life for saving mother's life.
And the hospital she rushed that young pregnant woman to? It's this one, where about 2 decades later, she's telling me her story.
What a tale. Shirin Jafari is in the studio here with me in Boston. So how have things changed since the end of the Taliban in 2001?
Well, a lot has changed. For example, Mushtari told me that today there are about 10,000 midwives in Afghanistan. Remember that at the time of the Taliban, there were only 450 midwives. Mm. Today, there's the Midwives Association and midwifery programs. So there's been a lot of change and improvement. Still, roughly 7% of Afghan women die because of pregnancy-related complications.
7%. So how does that compare to the U.S.?
The most recent reports show that there's been an uptick in the number of women in the U.S. who die due to pregnancy-related issues. Still, there's a big difference between the U.S. and Afghanistan. Women in Afghanistan are 28 times more likely to die from pregnancy complications than women in the U.S.
Wow, 28 times more. That's mind-boggling. Why is that? Why so high?
Well, there is no simple answer, but one reason I heard from midwives in Afghanistan is that part of it can be cultural. For example, sometimes husbands hesitate to take women to clinic because they don't want male doctors to treat them. They prefer that their wives only be treated by female doctors or midwives. I mean, for example, in this hospital that I visited in Kabul, I didn't see any men. Women came here with female relatives only. Fathers are not even present during birth. All that limits and delays the kind of care pregnant women get.
Yeah, so women don't get the kind of help they need in time.
Right. But that's not the only reason. Afghanistan is a large country, and a lot of Afghans live in remote areas.
Right, remote areas that are also pretty mountainous.
Right. And in winter time, Marco, as you can imagine, movement becomes super tricky, especially when there's heavy snowfall. Sometimes these families who live in these remote areas don't own cars. They travel on donkeys. And so there's almost no way to get a pregnant woman who's in labor to the clinic or hospital in time.
Yeah, and on a donkey, that sounds uncomfortable, not to mention possibly dangerous.
Right. And the biggest problem of all, Marco, is security. Just this past July, the Islamic State attacked a midwife training center in eastern Afghanistan, and it killed 3 staff. Mushtari, the midwife in my story, told me that sometimes it's hard to convince newly trained midwives, who are mostly women, to go and work in smaller cities because of security, because sometimes these clinics fall in Taliban territory, and security is definitely an issue.
So you've got geographical limitations, cultural beliefs, and security. I mean, these are big problems. Is there anything being done to help improve the situation for pregnant women in Afghanistan?
Thankfully, yes. 2 years ago, health officials at the United Nations Population Fund thought if they can't get to women, and if women can't get to clinics, is there a way to connect to them remotely? The answer Marco they came up with was so simple. Phone calls. When I was in Kabul, I visited a call center set up by the UN. It's very small, the size of this studio we're in. There are 5 midwives sitting behind desks. They have headsets on, their laptops in front of them, and they take calls from women who live in remote areas. And these midwives are trained to talk women through a delivery if they can't get to a clinic right away.
On the phone. They're going to deliver your baby for you. That's incredible.
On the phone. They can also answer any pregnancy or post-pregnancy related questions. For example, if a woman doesn't know how to breastfeed, or they might get a question about what do I do if my newborn has a fever? Questions like that.
My name is Dr. Rona.
That's Dr. Rona Abidishayan, a gynecologist who heads the center. She's this feisty, energetic woman. She's been a gynecologist in Kabul for 3 decades. She's the kind of person who basically has seen it all.
So how many people have called into the center?
She told me that since they started the center 2 years ago, they've answered 6,000 calls. She said sometimes she gets calls from places in Afghanistan she didn't even know existed, even though she's from there. And she has to look them up on a map.
Dr. Shayan is so impressive, Shirin. Could this call center be a solution to the problem of Afghanistan's maternal mortality rate?
If only, Marco. Yes, it's a step. But remember that Afghanistan is still in the middle of a war. There are suicide bombs, terror attacks on a daily basis. It's great that these women are fighting for maternal health. But this can only be successful if there's peace in this country.
The World's Shirin Jafari, thanks very much for bringing this story from Kabul.
You're welcome, Marco.